Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well this morning. I've got a few things I'd like to share this morning on God stories. I've got a few God stories I wanted to share concerning this past weekend. Hope you're feeling well. Hope you're waking up not in a bad mood, but in a decent mood. But I feel like I've got some things the Lord's even shown me while I've been pulling up some notes here. You got to understand some of these God stories that we do. First thing I do in the morning is I start, because a lot of times I'll have my plan, you know, of what I'd like to share. And sometimes even when I start going there in my mentality, I can feel the Holy Spirit just, I can feel him saying, like, that's boring. Why don't you do what I want to do? And then I have to kind of die to my structure and do what he wants to do. And if we start doing what he wants to do, most of the time the goodness of God will manifest, and then we start getting free. And so I'm going to try to do that this morning, is try to be guided by the Spirit instead of my plan. Of course, that's the way we're supposed to walk, isn't it? Be guided by his plan instead of ours. Isn't it funny how we always plan things, but it never comes out the way we planned? It's because, you know, man makes his plans, but God orders his ways. And man, sometimes I can't stand that, because sometimes when your plans change, it makes everything so hard. But yet, if you saw it as God controlling your plan or guiding your steps, you could kind of calm down and actually see it through the eyes of the Lord. But man, we still have some control issues, don't we? So I'm going to try to go according to his plan. Now, I want to give you a scripture before I share this couple of God stories, because it goes along with what happened. I was in a church this past weekend, and it was incredible. It was a simple, you know, country church in Charlotte, and wonderful people there. We may have put it on the, you may have watched some of it on online through Facebook, but one of the main things that I felt there was the Spirit of God, the law of liberty, giving people, you know, freedom, especially when we started talking about Jesus, and then we started talking about these things of the voice of God. And people didn't want to leave the meeting after it was over. I tried to kind of close it down, and then the people still stayed in their chair. And there were, then God started breaking out in the spirit of prophecy. And I like to call it the spirit of liberty. He started, you know, divvying out spirit of liberty to everybody. And it's in, you can catch this in Isaiah 61. And I want to dissect some of it, because I think it'll help us to be able to understand why we need to walk in the goodness of God, not only within ourselves, but also with other people. Because good always overcomes evil. Remember that. Goodness even in you can overcome the evil in you. You can't dissect and look at evil thinking you're going to change it by looking at evil. You have to walk in goodness even within your own consciousness in order to overcome evil, because you can't overcome evil with evil. And evil there, if I'm trying to overcome my evil by evil, means my evilness is not like something like what we would think like horrific. Evil also seems good. In other words, when I look at my evil within myself and I start reasoning, I'm reasoning through evil, because I can't, I'm not, if I don't look at it through the eyes of God, through goodness, then I can't actually overcome it. Because if I don't put my mind on the things that are good report, those things that are edifying, then I can't overcome goodness, overcome evil. Most of us try to overcome evil by reasoning. How many of us look at our stuff, or you hear a voice always dissecting yourself, and it's all, and it's strange. It will not pick up the good things in you. It'll always pick up the negative things in you. And then you'll try to work that out and fix it in your own strength, which is evil. So you try to overcome evil with evil. It just doesn't make sense, but we think that's wisdom. But the law of liberty is the very thing that overcomes evil. In other words, the law of goodness, when you get into the place of goodness, it actually causes darkness and that those evil thoughts that even try to hit you to vanish. They disappear. You begin to forget them. And I want to read this, and I'll share a little bit of what happened this past Sunday. It says in Isaiah 61, we've heard this a million times, probably those that have been in church or have followed conferences or whatever. You've probably heard this several times, but never really dissected. And I want to maybe dissect just a little bit of it because we got to go on with this thing. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And of course, we know that this is Jesus. This is Isaiah looking at something that is beautiful, and he's seeing Jesus, all right? And he says, the Spirit of God, of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. In other words, say good things to those that are in have evil thoughts. Say good thing. When you're poor, it doesn't mean just you're poor or you don't have any money or you're geographically poor. Poor there means when you're thinking evil, even about yourself. You're thinking negative thoughts and so forth. It strips the richness of the goodness that is in you down, and it causes you to be poor. And you poor means you're always, you know, you're groping and you feel like you're a slave. And you even come to God as a slave. Oh, Lord, help me. You know, I'm dying. You know, and you come to him in that attitude. That's being poor. And he says to preach good tidings. In other words, I came to preach to tell you good things in the midst of your old mentality. So God will come in and say wonderful things in your mind while you're saying bad things in your mind. And you have to decide, which one will I go with? Will I go with the one that has liberty and is telling me good things? Or do I feel like I need to deal with this in order to have the good things? That's the wisdom of the world. You think you've got to deal with your inadequacies in order to have the good stuff. Think about that. Let that settle. You think it's wisdom to deal with your inadequacies in order to have the good stuff. You can't have the good stuff if you don't deal with your inadequacies. Well, that is a completely lie. That's a complete lie, because the Lord himself died for us, gave us all of his goodness, yet while we were in sin and enemies of the cross. So he gave you things while you were not qualified for it. Think about that. So there are things that you're not qualified for to get. So you might as well just accept the goodness of God and drop all the things you feel like you've got to deal with on all these inadequacies about yourself. The spirit of this world wants to put our faith in the inadequacies of who we are instead of the abilities and the consciousness of God's goodness. Because if we ever start thinking through the mindset of liberty and good, then we will overcome the evil that is constantly bombarding us, and even in our own house. All right? So he says to preach good tidings to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. To proclaim liberty. And that's like, in other words, when you see someone in prison, he says you're free. Well, that doesn't make sense here, because that doesn't work here. God, that doesn't work here. You got to find out what kind of key you got to have to set them free. Well, the key is to proclaim liberty. But we have to go throughout this evil thinking. There's got to be some type of key that sets people free. The key is God's word. The key is Jesus. The key is to proclaim good things into people's lives, and it will set them completely free. It's totally opposite, because God says those things that are not as though they were, and the are not is the very things that are. All right? So you got to believe in those things that are not, that you feel like are not a part of your life, that are not who you really are. You're really this negative person. I will one day be this person. Well, that's not true. You've got to believe in those things that are not, because that's who you really are. All right? They always tried to make Jesus a carpenter. They was always trying to downgrade him. Oh, that's just, you know, Joseph's boy. They were always trying to downgrade his mindset to put him back in that earthly place. You're not called to be in an earthly place. You're called to be in Christ Jesus, all right? So here we go. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison door, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Then say to dissect their ashes and then try to fix them. He said, just give them beauty. So you have to actually see beauty in the worst person. And you proclaim the beautiness that will destroy, that will bring them up out of the ashes. Now I want to stop there because this is so true of what happened while I was in Charlotte. There was one incident while I was, you know, there was worship. We started worshiping and the Lord really showed up. I wasn't in the mentality at that time of really the Lord showing up. I was a bit tired. I was a little bit, you know, off focus, and the Lord shows up. The presence of God came up, you know, and I felt the Holy Spirit walk right up to me. I literally felt something standing next to me, and when I felt it standing next to me, the radiancy of the Holy Spirit and that spirit of liberty was, it was like sun rays coming within my spirit. And it caused my mind and my heart to change into thinking of those things that are good. In other words, it ignited the faith that was in me, which is good. Your faith and my faith is to point, is actually been made to point toward love and goodness and God. And so when that came, it rose my faith up, my faith that he gave me to point toward God. And it caused all the love and all that joy and that mentality that comes with that joy to rise up in me. So he came to awaken my faith so that I could believe again in my true self. Think about that. In my true self, which is Christ in me. Because I felt literally Christ rise up in me. Because and it's like the old had passed away and all things had become new. In other words, I became this new person again. And I was like, man, I'm so glad you came. And he immediately said, well, I don't want to have to do this all the time. You can stay here. You don't really need for me to always do this. This is your faith. I'm waking your faith up so that you can't be blind anymore in this area. And I was like, good gracious. So I've got to rise and take my place in the area of God's goodness. I got to rise and take my place in the area of the faith that God has given me to believe that not only he's good, but there is goodness and love and liberty even in me that's wanting to come out and give to other people. So it's kind of strange. I did actually stand up, you know, and I rose. I not only arose in my spirit, but I rose in my mentality. And I physically stood up then. And then instantly I started seeing things in the spirit within people and was discerning spirits that were tormenting people, but through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of liberty. I wasn't dissecting what they had. I was seeing things through Christ, people that were in prison, people that had ashes. And the love of Christ came upon me to actually prophesy or say things that are not as though they were. Okay? And it went like this. When they introduced me, I spoke a few things. And then toward the end, the Lord had been really speaking to me about a few people. And there was this one particular person that if you and I were sitting in that meeting and you saw this person sitting in the back, they were kind of like this. You know, you ever seen people like that? They got the arms crossed. They've got this look on their face. And man, the first thing you think of, man, they're just angry, they're closed, they have all this. And see, you're not, as soon as you think that, we're not in the spirit of the law of liberty. Because if when you see somebody like that, you already, the mind of God would already say, wow, you're free. But I would, my old mentality would be, man, they've got this spirit, they've got a problem with self-loathing, and you've got a problem with rejection, and or they've got a bad attitude in their life, God wants to free them from anger, you know, all this stuff. And you drop your faith in that area of that dark place. In other words, your faith drops into the area of picking out inadequacies instead of allowing it to raise up and see their abilities that God has actually given them. Does that make sense? And if I'm if I kick into discerning people in their inadequacies, in other words, what they're dealing with, I think I'm being smart so that I can say the things of God that are in their life. But God wants to take us out of that and be able to see the adequacies, not the inadequacies, but the adequacies that they have, the abilities that they have, so that it can break the inadequacies where they put their faith in. Because their faith is in their inadequacies. So if I'm seeing inadequacies, I'm doing the same thing even to myself. You really think about it. The very things you can pick out easier are the very things, is this type of mentality you're thinking about yourself. That's the mindset that you think through your own mind. But he wants to kick us up a notch. So this person was sitting back there with her, you know, eyes down, and they've got a scowl on their face, you know. And the first thing I thought of and that I felt was pain. And I asked the Lord, you know, why do I feel pain? All this is going through my mind. And he said, Isaiah 53:4. Now watch this. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So he still does that today. Now we have a high priest that can actually still, he bears people's griefs and he carries their sorrows. In other words, he can still discern the pain that they're going through. So when I started feeling their griefs and their pain, he said the scripture to me, and then I knew exactly what it was. It was Christ in me that was feeling their sorrow and their grief. Instead of looking at it through my eyes, oh, they've got an anger problem, they've got depression, I can't believe it. And I was doing it through the eyes of my own mind instead of through the heart of God. Now that I can see their griefs and their sorrows, love starts to come up in me. I no longer judge them. And I see this love that comes up in me. Now I can't wait to say really what they're called to. So my mouth started to open. I looked at this wonderful girl and I said, excuse me, what's your name? And she told me her name. And I said, hey, I just want you to know, you have walked through a major valley. I didn't say, hey, you've got a problem, attitude problem, you know, and all that stuff. Or, man, you've got some rejection on you and God wants to free you. You know, that never hardly helps, you know. But, yeah, of course God wants to free her. But she needs to hear something that has goodness in it, because good overcomes evil. So this goodness was on me, and I said, you've walked through a valley. And I said, and rightly so. And it's tried to steal things of who you are, but it hasn't. You think that it has, but it hasn't. You really have God's joy. That's why you've been attacked. And man, when I said that, her eyes opened. I mean, her full countenance changed and tears started flooding down her face. And when the tears started flooding down her face and God's love hit her, she could tell that God had picked her out of everybody and said, basically, hey, I know exactly what you've walked through. I've done it myself, but there's joy on the other side, which there is always joy that comes in the morning, right? And happened to be morning. Well, I didn't know this, but afterward, I found out some things, some details about this young girl. But I called her forward, and I said, just take my hand. And I said, look, you know, just look at me. And when I looked at her, the joy of the Lord just came on her. And I said, okay, you got it back. Get your joy back. And she just started smiling, crying, hugged her, you know. And if you saw it through the eyes of the westernized way of charismatic and, you know, the way we fluff up things, that wasn't too important. You know, we needed something bigger. But I'm going to tell you something. When a girl or a woman gets down and she's been downtrodden and God comes with hope and love and joy, I'm going to tell you what, that's the greatest miracle you ever see, is when God changes the heart instantly. Physical things is great, but man, changing a heart is supernatural. I'm telling you, to change a heart, it's supernatural. That's one of the greatest miracles. That's why angels, you know, will celebrate in heaven when ones get saved. It's not about them going, oh man, we got another ticket. You know, we got another guy. That was the greatest miracle. They watched God change a heart. That's huge. I don't know about you, but I've been in a bad place at times and nobody could change me. But when God showed up, miracle happened. My heart changed. And I went from, man, being mad or disappointed and bitter to, man, having joy and hope. And that's what happened to this girl. I hugged her and she walked back to her seat. Well, I found out later that literally the day before, she had a father that was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. And there were some things that he had done the day before that was traumatic in their lives. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart in a good way, that God knew that she needed her joy back, that she had watched this traumatic thing happen with her father, because she loves her father, and the mother that loves her husband. And when you go through things like that and it's traumatic, it breaks your heart and it find yourself in a low place. But can you imagine if I looked at that girl and said, man, you got a rejection problem. There's an area of rejection in your life God wants to free you from. That is so stale. So stale. Instead, God just came in and said, hey, you've got great joy. You've walked through a valley and here you go. And the power of that liberty hit that girl and it set her free. Little did I know that she had walked through a major valley the day before. So he proclaimed the goodness of God over her, and that goodness overcame the evil that was really trying to just suck her in and drown her, to where she put her faith in the inadequacies of who she is and her faith in the trauma that she went through. Instead, God switched that faith and caused her faith to look at God, and she could see the goodness that is within her. And then all that arose in her, and she became this beautiful little girl again, which I don't know about you guys, but that just really just, it moves my heart, because it reminds me of something Jesus has done for me, you know, many times in my life. And when I started dissecting that this morning, I started thinking about, man, how many of us want to give liberty, but we ourselves don't even accept the liberty of God for ourselves. Because Christ has got to deliver us first. He wants to declare liberty in you and tell you how free you are, which frees you from your captivity. To find out how free you are, it causes the gates that you've been trapped in your mind, all those words that you've been trapped in your mind, to totally swing open and let you go so that you can be the person that you're supposed to be. Let me show you something as far as the law of liberty is concerned. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Now, this is God. Now, I could take this scripture and go throughout the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. This worked throughout the whole Bible of God's goodness and his power and his might. All right? But we're going to dissect it right here just for a moment. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Now notice, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those things that are not are already inside of him. But the earth is without form and void. Get that? You got to get that one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, who's the beginning? God is. So in the beginning, in God, or beginning even there means first fruits. So you could see first fruits as in Christ. In Christ, God created the heavens and earth. So inside of God, the heavens and the earth are already created. But in order to create something, there has to be inspiration. There has to be love. There has to be this hope and joy and all this stuff that goes along with creating something. How many of you guys can't create something like that? Well, you can. You can create something out of depression, and it comes out as depression. But how many of you guys get inspired, and then you can create things? There's such a greater power than creating things out of that lowly state. Creating things out of lowly states will never last. Creating things out of hope, it always lasts. It's eternal because it's God. So it's saying, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. So he's thinking about it. It's already in him. And then it says the earth, the physical part of it, the earth was without form and void. And void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. So in him, the heavens and the earth were already created. But on the outside, it looked chaotic. It looked terrible. There was darkness. There was all kinds of stuff that was going on. But inside him, as he's looking at what's going on the outside, on the inside, there's this creativity that he's about to loosen. In other words, it's kind of like looking at that girl. She's void. There's chaos going on inside of her. But inside me, there's this inspiration and creativity. There's a new heaven and there's a new earth that's creating inside of me to speak in that place of chaos that she's in. And when I spoke it, God ignited it and light came forth and it separated the darkness from the light. Man, get that. It's so key right now. We've got to allow God to do the same thing he did to it within his own self. There may be chaos, there may be all kinds of stuff, but there is a creativity within us, just as it was with God in the beginning, to create things. You can't change things out here without allowing the inspiration and the love of God to create something even within you that you can speak into. And when you speak it, it totally binds the darkness, separates everything, and there's light that actually shines forth. Well, now watch this. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the Spirit of God is always partnering with God, right? It's one with him. And so God is having all this inspiration while there's this darkness that's going on, this chaos. Now, if we were standing next to him, had our mindset, we'd be thinking, God, are you going to do something about this? My gosh, you need to bind this. You got to bind that. There's a war over here. You know, you'd be thinking all kinds of stuff, telling him what to do. And throughout your reasoning, you think that's the way it works. But God binds things differently. He doesn't have to pinpoint to bind. He just releases his spirit and his kingdom and his inspiration. That's what binds it. Because good overcomes evil, Romans 12, right? So the Holy Spirit is one with God. So you can imagine God starts to get inspired and the Holy Spirit has to get inspired with him. So the Holy Spirit starts having the same mind as God. And he starts feeling, the Spirit and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost now is on the outside of, on the earth, and he starts hovering. It says he starts hovering over the face of the deep. Look at that. Hovering over the face of the waters. In other words, everything's hovering over everything that's chaotic. Because now he is actually mimicking what God has within him. He's about to release things as God speaks. Isn't that amazing? Then doesn't that sound like Jesus physically? That Jesus would be thrown in the place of chaos, and in that place of chaos, Jesus could only do what love did. And that's what he says. I can do nothing unless I see the Father doing it. We could put in other words in there is I can do nothing of myself unless what I see love doing. Everything he did was out of inspiration, love. There was faith, hope, and love that was always inspiring him when there was chaos. There wasn't any reasoning going on like we do it. There wasn't any of that going on. There was faith, there was hope, and there was love that was working. He can do nothing unless he sees love doing it. And that's the way we've got to do it with other people. We've got to see how love does it instead of how we do it or how we've been trained. We've been trained with so many reasonable steps that they're not working. We've got to do it through the supernatural Spirit of God. So he says, without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. And then let's put it this way. And love was hovering over the waters. So he couldn't wait for God to say something. Now he's one with him. Now his mentality is it knows that God's about to share something wonderful. Then God said, let there be light. In the midst of all that chaos, he said, let there be light. So he's setting up rules. He's setting up the law of liberty. Light has the rule over darkness. He's telling everything, all right, this is the rule. Love has rule over everything. Goodness has rule over everything. Let there be light. In other words, let there be goodness, joy, all the attributes of God. Let all of that, the goodness of God, have rule over all darkness and over all evil first. He's speaking that into the existence. Okay, darkness, chaos, you got to now let goodness have rule over you. Even though he was making the sun and the stars, the spiritual aspect of that has to work as well. So when he made the sun and the stars, when they appeared, they're only appearing because of they're actually manifesting the very type of heart that he had within. So the sun was the representation of the S-O-N, and it was good. It was bright. Light overcame darkness. Goodness then overcame darkness. So when he set that law of liberty in motion, things had to manifest to actually ordain what he's doing in the spirit. I know this is a lot, but you've got to get this as well. That's why you got to speak those things that are not, those good things over your life that actually bind the dark things in your life. Try speaking goodness over your life when you're in a bad attitude. I guarantee you, you'll hiccup something that is evil that will come out of you. So he says, he's saying to them, okay, here's the rule. Now, let there be light. Let there be the law of liberty that controls everything on the earth and in heaven. Because he's bringing those things that are in heaven now upon the earth. And those things that are in heaven are governed by the law of liberty, the law of God's goodness. And so he's saying, okay, I'm going to bring this in the earth. And this is how it rules. Everything has to bow to this, my son. And the sun, the light of the world, didn't spirits have to bow to the goodness of God. It wasn't just bowing to Jesus. They recognized the Son of God. They recognized the very thing that was before all creation, light, the goodness of God. They had to bow to goodness. And that's what happens when we start living goodness and we speak the goodness of God. Darkness and every evil thing has to bow. And that's what happened to this young girl. When I spoke those things that are not as though they were, that she had the joy and how this thing, she walked through the valley, but she got to the other side. When I started speaking those things that are as though they weren't, then those things that really are started binding those things that were bringing her down. The law of liberty. So basically, that very hour, God basically said the exact same thing again into this girl's life. Let there be light. In other words, I'm going to come in and rule with goodness. Is this the only way he knows how to rule? Because he set it up. It's called the law of liberty. To bring liberty to the captives. In other words, to bring my law in the area of your captivity will actually set you free. Man, I love that. Man, I even sitting here talking to you, I want to remember that for myself. Because, man, there are times when even in my life with the things that go on and the bombardments and all the stuff that hit us, the things that we do to plow, we're always getting hit with something that tries to bring us down. And sometimes you get hit so many times, you forget, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be ruling over the hits. And if I'm going to rule over the hits, I've got to stay in this place of liberty in the area of God's goodness. But man, that snake tries to come in on your life, doesn't it? And he kind of slowly starts letting you dissect yourself. And then before you know it, you are choked out by that old spirit. And then your faith isn't put in the inadequacies. And then your faith is in all the bad stuff that's going on. And you're trying to figure out how to change it. And then you're done. Right? It's God's goodness. So he says, then he said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Isn't that beautiful? So he, in that midst of that thing, if we were watching something, we would have watched God speak something that is not, but in his heart, it is. So whatever goes on in his heart, it is. All right? So he's speaking those things that are not here, but in him there is. It is. And when he releases it, that which is becomes the is. And then the things that are not, that are physically there, they disappear. And that thing which was becomes the real life. That thing that she was, that little girl was in this place of darkness, but the things that was in, that God placed in me through Christ was those things that are not going on, but they are her. And so he speaks it, which wakes it up in her, and it explodes. The darkness has to, it's when he said, let there be light. The darkness has to bow to light, and it has to let it be light. It has to let her be goodness. It has to let her be love. And it loosens itself because it knows that is the way it works. That is the laws of God. Don't you love that? Doesn't that get you excited that, wow, I can loosen myself instead of running around trying to find something to loose me? I've got it in myself. I can start thinking of those things of God instead of those things of this or the earth, which will loosen things even within yourself. Aren't you tired of being bound? You find yourself running around trying to get something off of you. That in itself is bondage. All right. Romans 4, verse 17. God, verse 17, 18. God who gives life to the dead. Now you totally understand it. Gives life to the dead. Now, this is kind of dissecting as I'm going. I'm going to let you tell you what's going on in my mind as the Holy Spirit gives it. When I read stuff, the Holy Spirit gives me scripture and he starts showing me things to confirm it, because he always confirms his word. So he gives life to the dead. All right. Okay. So he tells Lazarus just to come out, come forth. He doesn't look at Lazarus in the grave. You know, they roll it back and it's stinking. You know, it's stinking. Can you imagine the smell? And God is now hovering because he's already seen Lazarus come out. He's already seeing Lazarus through the eyes of love. So when you see people that are dead through the eyes of love, you already see them coming out. You don't look at all the stuff you got to bind from them. Isn't that awesome? God who gives life to the dead. So he looks at all that stinky stuff and he says, "Hey, Lazarus, come forth." Another Lazarus, come out. So he speaks those things that are not, those things that are going on in his spirit. He's already seen the love of God, seeing Lazarus through the love of God, and he sees Lazarus coming out, and he just tells Lazarus, because Lazarus is actually made up of the same format, the same nature. Why could Lazarus be raised from the dead? Was it a mystic hat trick? No. Lazarus is still made in God's image. So he has to get up. He's called to get up. So he speaks those things that are not in back to Lazarus. And he says, "Lazarus, you got to come forward." So Lazarus within his own body sees himself get up and comes forward. Now think about that. He awakens Lazarus. Say that with me. He awakens Lazarus. He doesn't awaken just God in Lazarus. He awakens Lazarus to his true self. So Lazarus just wakes up and walks out. He just says, "Hey, Lazarus, come forth." And the spirit of liberty is on that, which causes the spirit of liberty that is in Lazarus to wake up as well. So Lazarus just says, "Okay." So he gets up. It's not the faith of God that overcomes the world. It's your faith that overcomes the world. Our faith is the very thing that overcomes the world. But we've got to keep it in that. We've got to keep our faith in the laws of God instead of the laws of this earth. If you're conformed to the laws of this earth, you're going to be dead. Do not be conformed to the spirit of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what God's doing right now. He's trying to renew us back to the old ancient ways of walking with God. So Jesus didn't say, "I bind death in the name of me." He just says, "Hey, Lazarus, come forth." Talk about shock. And here comes Lazarus trying to skip up that thing and all bound up, and, "Hey, I'm coming. He heard him. It reminded Lazarus, who was dead, that he doesn't have to die. You don't have to live in a stinky place. You don't have to live in a place of death. Hey, come on out. You don't have to be bound by old sackcloth. And you know, him being bound by all that stuff is all the stuff we believed. In Christ, there's no death. No death here. It's all love. It's faith, hope, and love. It woke up in him. That's what ruled him. You can't die if you're in that. That's what happened to this girl. He raised her from the dead. He gave her the law of liberty. He didn't touch all the... he didn't touch all the bad words she said, maybe about her dad or about herself and all that stuff. He just spoke liberty to her, gave her who she really was back, awakened who she really was inside, and all that other stuff disappears. It's gone. It's swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Where is it? It got swallowed up in victory. In other words, when you proclaim victory in the midst of death, death gets swallowed up. And you even forget what you were dealing with. So it says, death, where is thy sting? You forget it because your mentality is all in the ways of God. You just forget it. And then you're able to tell everybody. You're not going to believe what God did with me. I was in this state, and I don't even know why I was in that state. But, man, when God came, he just smoked it all out. I forgot all about it. It's because death, where's thy sting? Now, isn't it awesome? So you can see that he speaks life to the dead. We're going back to Isaiah 61. So it says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Those things, when you start to minister and you start doing those things out of love, when you can get yourself disciplined to where you don't do anything unless you do it through what love tells you to do, when you start doing those things, then you start calling those things that the world says not to do. You don't do it that way. But you call it, you call those things that are not at this moment as though it were. In other words, you believe more in the love of God than you do the situation. And so you speak those things that are controlled out of love into the existence. And when it happens, it controls everything. Isn't that amazing? He calls those things that do not exist as though they did, who on contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. This is Abraham. Of course, we all know the story of Abraham. He hoped when there was no hope. You know, how'd you like to say, you know, hey, you're going to have a child 9 months from now? You know, Sarah laughed, but Abraham hoped. In other words, he believed. He believed in something that was not as though it were, and it happened. Could those things that you think is not there in you, and you start believing those things that are as though they weren't, you know, could you birth Christ in you? Could you be completely possessed in the mind of Christ again? Of course you could. You start believing. Well, and then your own mind says, oh, well, you got to take a few steps. You got to get a little bit more holy. Don't go down that road. That doesn't work. Doesn't work. Just believe in God. Don't do nothing unless love shows you. And let's read this scripture in John 5. I put this as the title, Jesus could do nothing without love. Because God is love. At the end of the Bible, it says God is love. Okay? So he was not going to do anything unless he saw love do it. Which totally changes the way you look at people. You have to, in your consciousness, you have to lean on love to look at people. Even your own situation. Some of you guys are out there in a situation that you think is negative, and then if you look at it through the eyes of love, I guarantee you, you'll start seeing it completely different. Then you'll start speaking those things that are not as though they were. You'll start praising yourself. You'll start praising your situation because you're seeing it through the eyes of love. And this is what Jesus says, John 5, 19 through 20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, in other words, you better get this. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father, you could say, what he sees love do, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Doesn't that sound like the beginning? Void and chaotic, and the Holy Spirit would only do what love would tell it to do. And so the Holy Spirit, instead of trying to bind it in the name of the Holy Spirit and try to create order, he just does what love tells him to do. And then he says, let there be light. And when he says, let there be light, light and love and hope and faith come into the atmosphere. The things that actually manifest physically to show us what's happening spiritually, the sun, the stars, they're all placed in the atmosphere supernaturally. Bombs and all kinds of stuff go off to create this thing. There's an explosion of breakthrough. That's what he's doing. Jesus is doing this same thing. I'm not going to do anything in the midst of chaos without love. This is the way even Jesus would think within his own self. He's trying to tell you how he would think. He's trying to tell you how his mind would work. He knows the old way, which is the law of bondage, the law of sin and death, the law of reasoning, the law of looking at things. Oh man, that's bad. I got to do something about it. Well, you just tripped out. You're not going to be able to do things in love. Instead of looking at something and then lean on your consciousness with the Spirit of God's love, the Holy Spirit, and you ask the Holy Spirit, love, how do you see it? Then instantly you'll see it completely different than what you're seeing. And then you'll call those things that are not as though they were. You'll be just like him. And that's what he's trying to make us. He's trying to create us back into his image. And then I'll end with this, because there's so much more scripture. I didn't think I'd get into this dissecting, but just think about it. All of this came from the Holy Spirit showing me what happened to that little girl. The Holy Spirit, even this morning, gave me a picture of that lovable moment, and then scripture came. And then he started showing me how he created the heavens and the earth. And he wants to create the heavens and the earth back to that place again. Watch this. So you can imagine. Let's look at this a little bit differently when he starts to create man. He sees man already in his image. But then he looks at man and he sees dust. Dust, man, it looks like dust. He looks fleshly. The serpent is destroying him because the curse is to, eat the dust of the earth. And he's looking at something prophetically, even in the future. Man is dust. And so he looks down at the dust of the earth, humanity. He sees it, that it's in bondage, just as he does with you and I. He does the same thing. He'll look down, and instead of looking at your bondage, he'll look at his image, and he'll say, wow, let us make man into love again. And he'll breathe on you, won't he? He'll give you life, and when he proclaims life and liberty to you, that you were captive with sets you free, and then you awaken to a whole new world. It's like awakening in a garden. You awaken in a wonderful garden and full of love in your mind. The garden is first inside of here. Do you have flowers blooming? In other words, do you have a mentality that blossoms, or do you have a cold winter day constantly? What area of life are you living in? Are you living in the kingdom of God, where there's faith, hope, and love? Or are you living in that place of death, where there's all this dust, the winds are blowing, and there's all you can taste is dust, fleshly stuff, self-rejection, depression, always seeing bad about yourself? Are you dust, or are you the image of the Lord? And look at this. And so then Genesis 1, 26 through 28. This is the way God wants to not only do with you, but he also wants us to come into maturity so that we can have this kind of mindset, so that when we look at people as though they're dust, we start seeing the image of God. Because he's looking at dust and he says, hey, and God says, let us make man in our image. In other words, let's make man in the image of love. Let him no longer be dust of this earth. Let's make him love. Now you can understand why the serpent can stand them. Because they start taking over the earth through power. So they were calling those things that are not as though they were. They were living just like God. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. In other words, this love is going to give them total dominion over everything. Of course they're going to have dominion over the fish of the sea, because the fish recognize God. In other words, the fish are going to recognize him. The birds are going to recognize him. The earth is going to recognize him. Why? Because he is the very one that created out of the Spirit. And everything that was created came from that Spirit. And so when that Spirit is physically on the earth, everything will know, wow, there's God again. And it'll have to bow. It'll have to submit itself to light and love. Same thing happened with Jesus. He put this man on the earth named Jesus. When he'd walk in, all of darkness would have to bow because it recognized it. That's why Jesus was the first fruits of many brethren. It wasn't just Jesus that was going to walk like this. It was supposed to be all of humanity walking in this place of love. And every knee will bow to the name of the Lord. It will bow to him. Every tongue will confess. Not only we think of it in a narrow sense, as though Jesus coming and bowing. No, and we bow. No, that will happen, but there's another aspect of it that every tongue confess that he is Lord, because the Lord will be living in you and me. Every evil thing, every dark thing will have to bow, because there will be light and love coming out of you and I. Because our mentality and our life has been hidden now in Christ. It's been totally just saturated in Christ. We have drowned in the Spirit of God. And now it's no longer you that lives. It's love that lives. It's Christ in you that lives. And every spirit will recognize it. And then you'll start saying those things that are not as though they were. And people that are not in that realm will be amazed at what's going on. And they'll say, surely this is the Lord. They'll see him. That's why we're not going to be known for ministry. We're going to be known for our love. We're going to be known for God. Period. So, that's my story and sticking to it. Well, I've got a bunch of other scripture, but I will stop right there. I hope this helps. When you look at dust, in other words, when you look at people, even when you look at yourself, don't see dust. Don't see the things in Galatians 5 where it talks about the flesh. Don't see that stuff no more. See the things of God. And if you can't see it, that's why we have an advocate, Jesus. He's the jump starter. And he'll keep jump starting you until you can actually walk on your own. That is so true. When you ask for help, he is the mediator between man and God. In other words, he's the one that can help you get into that place where you're drowning in that mentality of love instead of drowning in the mentality of the flesh. When you like to drown, great, and have joy in it. When you like to drown in love, when you like to drown in hope, drown in faith, instead of drowning in disappointment, you know, that mentality, drowning in self-rejection, drowning in self-loathing and seeing yourself as not pretty or handsome or whatever it might be. That's all just stuff to get you out of the mentality of love. You can't do nothing unless you see love doing it. Just remember that. So I just pray right now, everybody watching, they have a scarred mentality, and the enemy's got them in that mentality of looking at themselves through the mind of the flesh, seeing themselves as dust. Lord, I ask that you're the mediator. You're the one that can come in and change that and say, just look at me, and the mentality of that I've hidden in you will arise. And I just pray that, Lord, that the love of God, the mentality of love would rise in all of us. Lord, some are just dust. They don't feel like they can get there. And you breathe into his nostrils, you said. Isn't that strange that dust had nostrils? Could it be that man was not in its right state? And he breathed in you. And just as he breathed in the disciples, he breathed in them. And they received a Holy Spirit instead of the spirit of dust and of the world. He renewed them. And I just pray that right now, that God would breathe in you again in those areas of dust. And you'd start thinking through the mind of Christ, through the mind of love. And anybody that feels dead, I just call you out. Come on out. You don't have to stay in death. Just walk out of it. Leave it behind. You're not a Lazarus that's dead. You're a Lazarus that's alive. Doesn't matter how much you stink. He loves the smell of it. Just get out. Walk away from it. He's proclaiming liberty to your captivity. He's offering you, hey, here's the where you're supposed to live. This is your place of liberty. This is where you live. And you just walk through your bars. You don't have to wait for a key. Just walk through the bars. It's all an illusion anyway. And walk into your place of liberty. All right? Okay, guys. Love you. Thanks for tuning in and supporting our ministry, supporting what we're doing. I'm headed over to Corpus Christi to help some folks down there. And it's going to be good. I really feel like it's going to be good. It's going to be work, but it's going to be good. I've got to go down there, and I've got to make sure I do nothing unless I see love doing it. That's the key. And if I can do what love tells me to do, then I can free some folks. But I'll put people in bondage if I don't do it through the eyes of love. So pray for us, and we'll pray for you. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for those that are tithing to our ministry and supporting us financially. You've been a big blessing. And if you can, you know, spread the news. If you can Facebook and take our, you know, website and put it on your Facebook, that we would appreciate it, because we really feel like the Lord can really help a lot of folks through what we're all walking through. All right. Grace on you. We love you so much. Grace, grace. Bye-bye.